Trend number 5. Managing a faltering China. In Washington and other capitals around the world, the defining geopolitical story of our time is the slow death of U.S. hegemony in favor of a rising China. Harbingers of Beijing's ascent are everywhere. China's overseas investments span the globe. The Chinese Navy patrols major sea lanes, while the country colonizes the South China Sea in slow motion. The government cracks down on dissent at home while administering a hefty dose of nationalist propaganda around the world. Yet, like so much of the conventional wisdom, this story does not stand up under scrutiny. Beijing's newfound assertiveness looks at first glance like the mark of growing power and ambition. But in fact, it's nothing of the sort. China's actions reflect profound unease among the country's leaders, as they contend with their country's first sustained economic slowdown in a generation and can discern no end in sight. China's economic conditions have steadily worsened since the 2008 financial crisis. The country's growth rate has fallen by half and is likely to plunge further in the years ahead, as debt, foreign protectionism, resource depletion, and rapid population aging take their toll. But while China's economic woes will make it a less competitive rival in the long term, they make it a greater threat to the United States today. Why? As Michael Beckley recently explained in Foreign Affairs, when rising powers have suffered such slowdowns in the past, they become more repressive at home and more aggressive abroad. China seems to be heading down just such a path. In March 2007, at the height of a years-long economic boom, then-Premier Wen Jiabao gave an uncharacteristically gloomy press conference. China's growth model, Wen warned, had become unsteady, unbalanced, uncoordinated, and unsustainable. The warning was prescient. In the years since, China's official gross domestic product growth rate has dropped from 15% to 6%, the slowest rate in 30 years. And China's economy is now experiencing its longest deceleration of the post-Mao era. If real, a growth rate of 6% could still be considered spectacular. The U.S. economy was stuck at a rate of around 2% from 2008 to 2016. But many economists believe that China's true rate is less than half the official figure. Moreover, GDP growth does not necessarily translate into greater wealth. If a country spends billions of dollars on infrastructure projects, its GDP will rise. But if those projects consist of bridges to nowhere, the country's stock of wealth will remain unchanged or even decline. To accumulate wealth, a country needs to increase its productivity, a measure that has actually dropped in China over the last decade. Practically all of China's GDP growth has resulted from the government's pumping capital into the economy. Subtract government stimulus spending, and China's economy may not be growing at all, or even shrinking. The signs of unproductive growth are easy to spot. China has built more than 50 ghost cities, sprawling metropolises of empty offices, apartments, malls, and airports. Nationwide, more than 20% of homes are vacant. Excess capacity in major industries tops 30%. Factories sit idle, and goods rot in warehouses. Total losses from all this waste are difficult to calculate, but even China's government estimates that it blew at least $6 trillion on ineffective investment just in the 5 years between 2009 and 2014. Even worse, China's debt quadrupled in absolute size over the last 10 years and currently exceeds 300% of its GDP. No major country has ever racked up so much debt so fast in peacetime. Worse still, assets that once propelled China's economic ascent are fast turning into liabilities. In the 1990s and early 2000s, the country enjoyed expanding access to foreign markets and technology. China was nearly self-sufficient in food, water, and energy resources, and it had the greatest demographic dividend in history, with 8 working-age adults for every citizen aged 65 or older. Now, China is losing access to foreign markets and technology. Water has become scarce, and the country is importing more food and energy than any other nation, having decimated its own natural resources. Thanks to the one-child policy, China is about to experience the worst aging crisis in history. It will lose 200 million workers and young consumers and gain 300 million seniors in the course of 3 decades. Any country that has accumulated debt, lost productivity, or aged at anything close to China's current clip has slipped to near zero economic growth for at least a decade. As Beckley explains, when fast-growing great powers like China run out of economic steam, they typically do not mellow out. Rather, they become prickly and aggressive. Rapid growth has fueled their ambitions, raised their citizens' expectations, and unnerved their rivals. Suddenly, stagnation dashes those ambitions and expectations while giving enemies a chance to pounce. Fearful of unrest, leaders crack down on domestic dissent. They search feverishly for ways to restore steady growth and keep internal opposition and foreign predation at bay. Expansion presents one such opportunity, a chance to seek new sources of wealth, rally the nation around the ruling regime, and ward off rival powers. Historical precedents are numerous. Over the past 150 years, nearly a dozen great powers experienced rapid economic growth, followed by long slowdowns. None accepted the new normal quietly. The question, then, is not whether a struggling rising power will try to expand abroad, but what form that expansion will take. The answer depends in part on the structure of the global economy. How open are foreign markets? How safe are international trade routes? If circumstances allow, a slowing great power might be able to rejuvenate its economy through peaceful trade and investment, as Japan tried to do after its post-war economic miracle came to an end in the 1970s. If that path is closed, however, then the country in question may have to push its way into foreign markets or secure critical resources by force, as Japan did in the 1930s. Like so many trends rooted in demography and human behavior, this one can be influenced by technology, but remains largely irreversible. How will China handle the coming slump? How will the U.S. and EU respond? The answers will shape the global reality in the 2020s and beyond. Given this trend, we offer the following forecasts for your consideration. First, the era of hyper-globalization that enabled China's extraordinary rise is over. While the global economy is still more open today than prior to the 21st century, a global rise in protectionism, as well as the bilateral trade war with the United States, increasingly threatens China's access to foreign markets and resources. China's free ride at the expense of American and EU producers is over. China will be forced to play by the rules or be cut off from the global economy. Multinational corporations are responding by rerouting an increasing portion of their supply chains around China. Second, China will double down on mercantilist expansion in an effort to keep the domestic economy from collapsing. The structure of a country's home economy inevitably shapes its response to a slowdown. The Chinese government owns many of the country's major firms, and those firms substantially influence the state. For this reason, the government will go to great lengths to shield these companies from foreign competition and help them conquer overseas markets when profits dry up at home. Third, China will ramp up domestic repression and control. China's recent behavior is a textbook response to economic insecurity. Back in the 1990s and the early years of this century, when the country's economy was booming, China loosened political controls and announced to the world its peaceful rise, to be pursued through economic integration and friendly diplomatic relations. Compare the situation today. Labor protests are on the rise, elites have been moving their money and children out of the country en masse, and the government has outlawed the reporting of negative economic news. President Xi Jinping has given multiple internal speeches warning party members of the potential for a Soviet-style collapse. Fourth, China will increasingly invest in the mechanisms for projecting power abroad. On the military front, it launched more warships over the past decade than the whole British Navy owns, and flooded major sea lanes in Asia with hundreds of government vessels and aircraft. Fifth, the United States will counter Chinese commercial, diplomatic, and military threats by leveraging its inherent advantages. Rampant espionage, unfair trade practices, naval clashes in the East and South China Seas, and a war over Taiwan are only the most obvious risks that a desperate and failing China will pose. U.S. statecraft will seek to contain these risks without causing China to lash out in the process. To that end, Washington will have to deter Chinese aggression, assuage China's insecurities, and insulate the United States from blowback should deterrence and reassurance fail. The inherent tension among these objectives will make the task a very difficult one. The challenge is to strike the proper balance. And sixth, Hong Kong will serve as the first big test of whether China can deal with the new realities. Given the geopolitical and commercial realities, the Trends editors believe that the State Department has already warned Xi that the cost of military intervention will be capital flight, brain drain, and the end of Hong Kong's preferential trade status, as well as any hopes of a trade deal.
Thank you for joining us this month to explore the latest trends and the ways in which they will impact your business, your career, and your life. All of us here at Trends invite you back next month when we will focus on more of the trends that are now emerging to shape your future.